Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. So, welcome to another episode on Every Day with Jesus broadcast, where our lives are being deeply enriched by the preaching of the word of God. And we are studying Bible truths concerning the local church. Bible truths concerning the local church. Hallelujah. And in the last teaching, I began to show us how that we must have a biblical definition for ministry. We don't just define ministry from our own minds or from our own unique perspectives. We have to define ministry from the Word of God. So when we say the local church is a place for training, for spiritual maturity in the which you become effective for ministry, we have to be definite about what we refer to or what we describe or term ministry. Hallelujah. So what exactly is the ministry? And the last teaching I began to show us that the ministry is not your career. The ministry is not what you do for a living. Hallelujah. Do you know your career is what you do for a living? And a lot of believers mix this up. Praise God. Like I put on my Facebook wall recently that, you know, when I do business, I'm not trying to make a difference in people's lives as per trying to change your life. No, no, that's not the motivation. Amen. Even in the Bible, look at Ephesians. Even in the Bible, the instruction to work is not really about you trying to make a difference in anybody's life because, you know, how do you make a difference in people's life by selling them cars? What if the person that patronized you that bought the car is an assassin? You don't even know. And it's actually none of your business. Amen. It's a different thing entirely if you know the person is a wicked person. I mean, many of the people who are going to buy or patronize you in business, you don't know them. You don't know their identity. You don't know what they do for a living. So you can't tell me you are trying to make a difference in people's lives by selling houses or building houses or selling cars. Hallelujah. No, that's not how to make a difference in people's lives. Praise God. So even the Bible does not in any way connect doing work, honest work for a living, does not connect or relate it with trying to make a difference in people's lives. We work to make money. It's so simple. Do you understand me? So let me put it in a much more decent way. We work to solve problems and then to make money. Hallelujah. And then the problems differ. So if I'm selling you a car, the problem I'm trying to solve is the problem of you not having a car. That is so simple. So when we say we are solving problems, it's not some very deep things. Hallelujah. Those who engage in a kind of business that has to do with, you know, trying to make a difference in people's lives, you can refer to people who are into personal development. So they want to make a difference, help you manage your time better, help you acquire the right skills, and so mentoring and all that. So I'm talking about, but you know, those are a kind or a crop of that's a kind of business. You get it. So, and then you notice that most of those things, you can even do it without charging people money because you're just passionate about helping people discover what they can do and how to improve on themselves. So, that's that. But majority of those who engage in business, every other form of business, most forms of business are just for profit maximization. And you have to be true to yourself. Amen. Let me show you. Ephesians in chapter 4. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4, glory to God. Ephesians 4, see the instruction that Paul gave. Ephesians 4:28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. He says, let him who stole steal no longer, let him labor, working with his hand what is good, that he may have something. Amen. That he should labor to have. Hallelujah. He should labor to have, that he may have something to give to him who has need. What difference was Paul making in the lives of men by building tents? Do you understand? He solved the problem. But really, it is to make money. That's why at Acts 20, look at what he says. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles 20. Look at what he says. And the Bible is not against you, venturing in business for the sole purpose of maximizing profit. Are you listening to what I'm saying? The Bible, if you say, I want to do business, but you know, I really don't, it's not really about money. I'm going to be very, very wary of you. Amen. Because you are not telling me the truth. How can you be doing business and it's not about money? There's a reason why it's called business. Amen. So those who venture into business are venturing into business because they want to make money. That's why if money is not forthcoming, you will quit. Praise God. Acts of Apostles 20. See why Paul labored with his hands. Hallelujah. At verse 34, it says, yet you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. These hands have provided for my necessities. Verse 35, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. So Paul labored to be able to provide for himself and those who were with him. See this other place, 1 Thessalonians. Hallelujah. We have to be very, very true to ourselves as believers. Don't try to spiritualize things that are not spiritualized in scriptures. There's a reason for working. It is to make money. Hallelujah. It's so simple. Amen. It's so simple. 1 Thessalonians. So, your career cannot be the ministry because career is what we do to make a living. Hallelujah. Career is something we do to make a living, to earn money and rewards, so we can sort our bills and then be of support to others. So you don't venture into career calling that your ministry. No, you are there to make money and have enough for yourself and for others. First Thessalonians, glory to God. I don't know about you. If I join a company or a firm and then I'm working with them and they owe me salary, first month, second month, third month, and they're saying nothing. In fact, third month, these days I've learned because I did that once. Third month, I was still there. There was no pay forthcoming and I stayed. I eventually lived in the fourth month. I eventually left in the fourth month. So, but I mean, I've learned. So, first month, you're not paying. You know, things don't look promising. Second month, I'm gone. Praise God. I'm gone. Hallelujah. Like I'm gone. You just discover that you look behind you. You not see me. Amen. You will not see me again. Glory to God. Because I don't deceive myself. The reason why I'm in your company is not because I'm passionate about many things. That's a major way for me to make money. That's a major way for me to raise something to foot my bills. To make ends meet. Praise God. So, there's no deception. You have to be true to yourself. The career is something you do. Your career, your ethnic career is something you do for the sake of earning a living. Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Glory to God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. See how Paul gave instruction to the saints. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11. It says that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, that you may lack nothing. Amen. Walk with your hands so you will not lack. Amen. Walk with your hands so you will not lack. Hallelujah. Look at this also. He says, we set an example for you. And look at the example that he set for them. 2 Thessalonians. Hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 3. Glory to God. Look at this now. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and from verse 6. It says, but we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who works disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Why did we work with labor and toil? So we will not eat anybody's bread free of charge. So we will not be a burden to any of you. So that is so we can fend for ourselves. That's why we were working. Hallelujah. That's why we were working. How many times do people say, I just want to make a difference. I'm not out there to make money. I just want to touch lives. And they are not being sincere, because the moment there's no pay, you discover that the passion will start dying. Hallelujah. That's the same reason why you find yourself in a company or in a firm for a long time and there's no promotion and you are sad. If you are there to just make a, you know, difference in people's lives, then you can be in one position for the rest of your life and be okay. Do you understand? That kind of slant is what is expected in ministry. You can be in church and never rise to any title or any position in the church and you are fine. As long as you are serving Christ and you are touching lives and you are sharing the gospel and you are a blessing to others, you are fine. You are not looking for promotion. Do you understand? But you won't be like that. You won't have that kind of disposition at your workplace because you expect to make progress. You expect to be uplifted. You expect to be promoted. You expect your, and you know, with the promotion right now and the upliftment, what you're expecting is a rise in your pay. Amen. If they promote you to the position of a manager of a company from maybe being one of the junior employees, see, and they don't increase your salary, you won't be glad or excited about the promotion. It's the truth. So there's no point deceiving ourselves. It is about us working so we can make money. Hallelujah. Make money and be able to fend for ourselves and support others. Now, verse 9, it says, not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. Verse 10, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Have you seen? If anyone does not work, neither shall he eat. Hallelujah. It now says, is connecting his eating with his work. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busy bodies. They are not working at all, so that's disorderly. Verse 12, now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they walk in quietness and eat their own bread. Have you seen? The reason why they are to walk is so they can have enough for themselves. They can fend for themselves. Hallelujah. And of course, to be able to also support others. So ministry is not your earthly career. You do your earthly career because you want to make money. Ministry is not motivated by desire to make money. Amen. So you say, my ministry is banking and finance. And then when the bank folds up, your ministry also closes. Amen. Or you start looking for another job opening somewhere. So your ministry has stopped until you get another job somewhere to continue banking and finance. It doesn't make sense. Hallelujah. It doesn't make sense. My ministry is to be this, is to be that. Imagine those who signed up with Gokada and Ope Ride and all that in Nigeria. Imagine seeing that as your ministry. That's your own work. So that's your own ministry. And then they banned the Okada. You see? They banned the Okada. So what happened now that they've banned the bikes from operating? You have fulfilled your ministry. Isn't it? Praise God. So it doesn't make sense. And the reason why that kind of perspective even gained ground in the body of Christ is because people were not thinking through those submissions. They don't make sense. Hallelujah. They don't make sense. Your ministry entails that you have to go for interviews. You could be out of job. You could be unemployed. Yet your career is your ministry. It doesn't make sense. Ministry is not something we rely on earthly systems to carry out. No. It's simply about preaching the gospel. It's not dependent on human approval. It's not dependent on, you know, platforms or anything. It's just the ministry. Hallelujah. Ministry is as simple as you having a guest in your house and over lunch, you begin to talk about Jesus. You are doing the work of ministry already. Ministry is as simple as stepping out of your house to the mall. And after you're done buying whatever you want to buy, and then you strike a conversation with a total stranger, and you begin to talk about Jesus. That's exactly how Philip was led to the eunuch. Hallelujah. That's how simple ministry is in the world. Ministry to the world, the ministry of reconciliation. That's how simple it is. Amen. So whether a man is out of job or a man is employed, whether a man is an entrepreneur or a man is a CEO, MD of a company, whether a man is self-employed, it does not matter. Everyone has received the ministry. Hallelujah. Praise God. Your career is your ministry. Are you aware there was a time you were a student? So when you were a student, what was your ministry? Hallelujah. Those things don't make sense. You make it seem as though ministry is for working class people. Do you get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. It sounds as though before you began your career, you had no ministry. Glory to God. While you were a student on campus, you had no ministry. So you got out of campus and then you began to work, and that's now your ministry. It makes no sense. Glory to God. Many of the preachers and pastors, unfortunately, will push such a narrative where men who did ministry on campus when they had no career. Those were the days, those were the glory days. And these days of them pushing the narrative of your career as your ministry is their backsliding days. Ichabod, the glory has departed. Hallelujah. It's too bad. Praise God. You have received the ministry and it is separate from your earthly career. Hallelujah. You have received the ministry and it is separate from your earthly pursuits. Amen. You need to wake up to this reality for your own good. And don't let a preacher who will not bear your judgment at the judgment seat of Christ mislead and confuse you. Glory to God. That's the reality. The man that misleads you and confuses you will bear his own judgment. You who made yourself available to be confused and misled will also bear your own judgment. Jesus gave instruction on how men ought to take it, the things they say. Amen. He warned the Pharisees to beware, to be careful about the things they teach. He also warned his hearers and the multitudes. He said, beware. Beware how you listen. Take heed what you hear. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the preacher will receive his own judgment. The man that also gives himself to his preaching without any form of discernment will also bear his own judgment. And it begins in this life. You are going to not fulfill your ministry and suffer the consequences of that at the judgment seat of Christ. Hallelujah. So your career is not your ministry. Amen. We need to think through those submissions as they come and ask questions like, what does the Bible say? Don't give us definitions from your own mind. Hallelujah. And I said to you in the last teaching that the reason why people are redefining and reconstructing the idea of ministry is because we are not ready for ministry. Amen. Because there's no emphasis on believers doing the work of ministry, and we're not teaching the saints that every saint of God has received the ministry and he ought to fulfill the ministry. Every saint should be given to the task of soul winning and preaching and heralding the gospel of Christ to the world. Because we are not emphasizing that again. We have to redefine the ministry on the altar of convenience and say, your career, your business is your ministry. As long as you do well in your business, you have excelled in your own ministry. Lie of Satan, deception, broad day robbery. Amen. Hallelujah. It's so amazing. So we have to stay with the word of God. The ministry is about what Christ has sent us to do. It's a spiritual thing. Glory to God. You don't need to attend the university to study a course to fulfill your ministry. Ministry is spiritual. It is not found in the world. It does not come from the world. It is not in any way something you learn in the world. You are not trained or equipped for it by the world. Hallelujah. By the wisdom of the world. Ministry is in Christ. Praise God. And the ministry is about the gospel. Glory to God. Back to Acts of Apostles 20. Hallelujah. Don't forget the things I've said to you in this series. You know, I said also that imagine if Jesus was your pastor. You know, it will make sense for Jesus to come into the church venue and say, you know, guys, your ministry is playing football. Your own ministry is being an accountant who can excel in his, you know, in his office space and all. And then he begins to teach things like that. Doesn't make sense. Hallelujah. Praise God. I know that people say that, the career is not the ministry, but the career is a platform for ministry. Amen. Well, the platform for ministry is simply preaching the gospel. So whether it's at your workplace or out of your workplace, on your way to the office, on your way back from the office, in your environment, in your community, on your way to church, wherever, however, in every place. Hallelujah. The platform for the ministry is preaching. Praise God. That is the platform for ministry. Preaching, not your workplace. Amen. Because the idea of using your workplace as a platform for ministry is erroneous. Hallelujah. Erroneous on two grounds. Number one, your workplace was not designed for preaching. Amen. And there's very little you can do at your workplace, especially in a very organized structure. It's impossible. I know people who work in places where you are not allowed to sit down. You have to be on your feet. You are not allowed to interact with any clients. You are just on your feet all through. What do you mean by his career, his business rather, or his workplace is his platform for ministry? He cannot fulfill his ministry there. Hallelujah. How does a teller working in a bank fulfill his ministry by preaching to everybody that comes? It's not feasible. Hallelujah. So at the end of the day, the only thing that can happen there is that you can have relationship with fellow colleagues. That's like a tautology, with colleagues. Hallelujah. So you can have times where you bond with somebody or you share with somebody, you know, and that's happening. I know members of church who do this. So it's great. But don't see the workplace as a platform for preaching the gospel. There may not be an opportunity. For example, how does a pilot fulfill his ministry? Amen. You don't even get to interact with the passengers. And then you don't even get to interact with many people. Just to come, you rest well, and they observe you. They find out you are in good shape, and then you just start flying. You fly, and you come back, you rest. I mean, there's no much interaction. Praise God. What about, you know, there are jobs that do not even have colleagues. For instance, being a PA to somebody, and it's just you and the man. Then you say that work is your own ministry. It's a platform for ministry. So that man will be your disciple. That's if he listens. For being his PA, there's the likelihood that he will not even listen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, if he listens, it's a miracle. A door of utterance has been opened to you, but that can't be your only disciple in this world. So for two reasons, it's impracticable. Amen. It is impracticable. It's erroneous. It's not taught in scriptures like that. That the workplace is a platform for ministry. You can preach the gospel to people at your workplace, but it is not an exclusive platform for ministry. Secondly, listen carefully. Secondly, it limits your sphere of influence. Praise God. Because Jesus did not send you to those at your workplace alone. Doesn't make sense. Hallelujah. There are souls passing away and dying by the wayside. There are those falling by the wayside every day in your environment, in your neighborhood. There are men going to hell with their sins paid for. Hallelujah. Men for whom Christ died. Jesus is counting on you. He wants you to speak the word. He wants you to preach, share the good news with them. You will not do it because the workplace is the platform for your own ministry. Hallelujah. Imagine if Philip had this kind of mindset. How would God have used him to reach out to the eunuch? Hallelujah. He'll be waiting to get to his workplace. So it limits your sphere of influence. The instruction is go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Hallelujah. So the workplace is not a platform, is not an exclusive platform for ministry. Ministry is to be done everywhere, anywhere, as the Lord leads us. Hallelujah. And the platform for that ministry is the preaching and the proclamation of the word. Amen. Hallelujah. So back to Acts 20. Acts of Apostles 20 and verse 24. Glory to God. Acts 20, 24. Paul speaking. He says, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. I showed you in the last teaching how that the word race in this place is in the Greek is the word that means career, that I may finish my career with joy, even that is the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus. And what is that ministry? To testify to the gospel of the grace of God. That's why Paul, as a tent maker, was not seeing tent making as his ministry or as a platform for ministry. Amen. It is instructive that the Holy Ghost captured for us Paul's ministry only in the context of him going about preaching. There is no record. There is no record or account of Paul converting souls at his workplace. There's none. I've not said there might not have been any such case. I'm saying it is the wisdom of God that the Holy Ghost did not record for us that Paul was using his career as a platform for ministry. Everywhere we see Paul's impact, where ministry is concerned, it was about a deliberate going about to preach. Amen. And I showed you at Acts 18. Hallelujah. Acts 18 from verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And he came to them, so because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked. For by occupation, they were tent makers. So he stayed with them and they were working as tent makers. Now, verse 4, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. So at his workplace, he was doing tent making. He was busy with business. Amen. And then he went into the synagogue. The synagogue was not the church of Christ. Synagogue of the Jews. So that was an evangelistic ministry or an outreach. And then Paul would go and share his faith and preach the gospel to them. So you see, it was a separate affair from his tent making, which was the career. Amen. So don't be deceived. Acts 20:24, to finish my race, my career. So the ministry itself is a spiritual career that God has given you, that you are meant to give heed or pay attention to, the same way you pay attention to your earthly business. Even demands more commitment. Hallelujah. Because I don't think you go to work and then come back later and be praying for every client that came to your workplace. But when it comes to preaching the gospel, you go out there, you preach. After you're done preaching, you collect their contacts, you get people's contacts and details, and then you come back, you labor for them in the place of prayer. If what I'm saying is strange to you, you've not started doing ministry. Hallelujah. You come back home and you labor in prayers over those lives. Ministry is spiritual. There was a time in church where I gave a word. I said, see, those we have reached out to, some of them we have struggled to reach out to them again. We have struggled to follow them up, not because we are not willing, but because they are closing up their hearts. And then I said, this week, they are opening up their hearts. Hallelujah. And then a member of church sent me a message the following day, how that somebody who had particularly and categorically warned her to not send her any message again, reached out to her by her own accord. Or of our own accord. Hallelujah. And said, I need you to start sending me those things again. And then she said, but you were the ones that, yes, please start sending me. That's what we're talking about. It's the move of the Spirit. Hallelujah. That was the same week a particular guy had been trying to follow up, reached out to me by himself and said, I'm ready to learn now. Glory to God. It's about the Spirit. It's about the power of God bringing about a change in the hearts of men. Ministry is spiritual. So you go out to preach. That's why I said it demands more commitment. Because in ministry, you will not just preach. You will labor for men in prayers. You commit their hearts to God in prayer. That their hearts will receive what their hearts will receive. They will not be confused. They will not be distracted. In the name of Jesus. Oh, we call out names. Praise God. Interceding for them. Hallelujah. Sometimes you do not even realize that your being in the faith today might have been as a result of somebody's intercession. And you're expected to do the same for others. Praise God. That's ministry. It's a spiritual affair. So the apostles understood ministry as a spiritual thing. They knew the difference between their earthly career and the ministry. Let's walk through some scriptures. Acts of Apostles chapter 6 and verse 4. Ministry is not earthly. It is not your career in the natural. Ministry is about the gospel. Hallelujah. It's spiritual. Acts of Apostles chapter 6 and verse 4. Praise God. Acts 6, 4. Let me start from verse 3. Glory to God. or from verse 2. It says, then the 12 summoned the multitude of disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek from among yourselves 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we'll give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We'll give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. What multiplies the disciples is the proclamation and the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. That's the ministry. Glory to God. That's the ministry. At Acts chapter 5, verse 42, Bible says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. They did not cease preaching and teaching Jesus as the Christ. That was why multitudes of men were embracing the Christian faith, and then we had the numbers of disciples multiplying. Acts 6:1. Amen. And then the decision they made at Acts 6 also resulted into more conversions. We'll give ourselves to the ministry of prayer and to the ministry of the word. And at verse 7, then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Hallelujah. Why were many folks embracing the Christian faith? Because the word of God spread. That's the ministry. Hallelujah. Not because Peter began to excel in his fishing business. And as he was excelling, people gathered to watch and say, come on, tell us, what's the secret? He said, it's my God. Such funny definitions and descriptions of ministry today. Get a first class. And then by that, men will know you serve the living God. They want to know your God. Sometimes getting a first class is the reason why men will hate you and envy you and walk in jealousy and rivalry. You don't know the world you are living in. An evil world. Hallelujah. You think excelling in life, doing well in life, is the reason why men will want to know your God. You are deceived. You are deceived. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me give you two examples in scriptures. Or three. Joseph, what did he tell his brothers? I had a dream, and then all the stars, all they were bowing to me, and they knew he was talking about them. Hallelujah. It hadn't come to pass. They were already envious. They sold him into slavery. Praise God. God turned it around for good. David killed Goliath. They began to hail him. Saul killed 1,000. David killed 10,000. From that day, Saul began to hunt for his life, hunt after him, and hunt his life. Praise God. He began to seek his soul. Threw him a spear at different times. You don't know the world you are living in. Praise God. Daniel was excelling, was doing well, had the spirit of excellence in that he was interpreting dreams and he was excelling in things, in the things of the spirit with regards to the time they lived in. Amen. The king had a dream. He told the king the dream and the interpretation. They envied him. They connived. Threw him in a lion's den. Thank God. God came through for him. Hallelujah. It will have become dinner. That will have been an easy dinner for lions. So don't be fooled and don't be deceived that by your excellence and success in this world, men will want to know your God. You are living in a world where men will hate you and walk in envy and jealousy. Even those of them who say, show me the secret. It's out of envy. Hallelujah. It's out of envy. Outside the spirit of God, outside being born again, you can't guarantee how men view you when you are successful. You have many enemies and a lot of eye service people. Amen. So that's not the way to fulfill the ministry. Glory to God. And then as Paul was excelling in his tent making business, the whole world now gathered to watch him. No, it was by the preaching and the proclamation of the gospel. That's the ministry. Praise God. That's the ministry. So he did tent making and then he went to do the work of ministry. They don't mix. Praise God. They don't mix. Acts of Apostles chapter 12. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles 12. Ministry is about the preaching and the proclamation of the gospel. Acts 12, 25. Hallelujah. Talking about the ministry of reconciliation. Acts 12, 25. Praise God. Hallelujah. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. We saw this in the last teaching. They fulfilled their, what was that ministry? They went about preaching the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. Acts 21:19. It's about the preaching of the gospel. Acts 21:19. Hallelujah. Acts 21 and verse 19. Listen. Bible says, when he had greeted them, he told in detail those things which God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. Amen. Which God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. Amen. And then we're going to see at Romans chapter 15 how Paul explains this. Romans 15. What happened amongst the Gentiles? What was Paul doing among the Gentiles? Was it about his business? And then they were seeing how he was doing great and they wanted to know God? No. Romans 15 and 17. Praise God. Hallelujah. Romans in chapter 15, 17 to 19. And I'll read. It says, therefore, I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed, to make the Gentiles obedient in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. All that God did in the midst of the Gentiles through Paul was via the preaching and the proclamation of the gospel. That's the ministry. So you go to work and then you go and preach the gospel. Do you understand what I'm saying? You go to work and then you go and preach the gospel. You may be at your workplace and not have time for preaching the gospel all through the day. And it's fine. Amen. Because at your workplace, you are there to work. Glory to God. You know, imagine if you were a surgeon. I mean, which ministry will you be doing in the theater while operating somebody? And then you say you want to preach. Do you want to preach to somebody you're operating? So it's fine to be at your workplace and be about your work. Praise God. It's fine to be at your workplace and your boss is even a Muslim. And he does not give room for Bible study. It's okay. After work, you preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Paul labored in tent making Acts 18 and then he went to preach. Many times, they don't mix. Sometimes you are lucky to be able to share the gospel with your colleagues. But the office space or your workplace is not the platform for ministry. It's about preaching. Hallelujah. It could be anywhere. Glory to God. Ministry is not your earthly career. Ministry is about the preaching of the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. Hallelujah. You know, in Nigeria, we're so religious. Very religious and also very, very out of order. So, you go to a workplace and then they say, well, they are busy. They can't attend to clients now. What are they doing? They're having prayer meeting. I mean, it's funny. Prayer meeting. What? Praise God. See, I love prayer. I love things of spirit. I love Bible study and all that. But if I come to your workplace and I discover you won't be able to attend to me because you're having Bible study, that's the last time I'm going to patronize you. No. I won't be impressed. No. Hallelujah. That's been out of order. No. It's not impressive. It's nonsense. Praise God. Because your workplace is a workplace. I left my house to patronize you because you offer a particular kind of service. Praise God. And then I got there and I discovered you are doing Bible study. You don't have time to attend to me. No, I won't come back again. It's better to change the name of your business to so and so Church of Christ. Then I'll come there for service. Do you understand what I'm saying? There was a time I stepped into a filling station in the afternoon, hot afternoon like that. And then they were praying. I'm not kidding you. They were praying. And we were all on the queue. I could not believe it. Nigerians, very religious and out of order. We turn secular institutions to spiritual places. We turn spiritual places to secular things. So the same mindset that has taken Bible study and prayer to the office space is the same mindset that has brought business studies, business principles, career development to the church. Very out of order. Very, very God. Whew. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4 and verse 1. Bible says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose it. Since we have received this ministry, What is that ministry? Verse 2. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Hallelujah. Verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bond servants, for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. In the face of Jesus Christ. The ministry we have received is about preaching the gospel. So if our gospel be veiled, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those whose minds have been veiled from our proclamation. Hallelujah. If our gospel be hid, it is not hid from them because we have not succeeded and excelled in our businesses. Because we are not one of the big men in the society. We are not one of the most noble folks. We are not one of those commanding respect because we run this Fortune 500 companies and all. No. That's not the reason why the gospel will be veiled. If the gospel is veiled and hid, it is hid because the devil has blinded their minds from our preaching. There's a proclamation. That's the ministry. Hallelujah. That's the ministry. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 5, 18. 2 Corinthians 5, 18. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. Hallelujah. Verse 19. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. The word of reconciliation. That's the ministry. Hallelujah. The ministry is about the word. The ministry involves the preaching. Hallelujah. The preaching and the proclamation of the word. Glory to God. Verse 20. Now then we, as ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's the ministry. We are to persuade men to be reconciled to God. That's the ministry. You don't get this done in your career. You don't get this done by any other means. You do this only by the proclamation and the heralding and the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 1 to 3, we then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Verse 3, we give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed. What is that ministry? The gospel. In an acceptable time I have heard you. In the day of salvation I have helped you. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. Hallelujah. The gospel. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. The ministry is not your career. And you know, I said this earlier. I said, you cannot say, I cannot see it. It's not clear from the Bible. It's so clear. You can only refuse it and reject it. But to claim it is not clear, it is not really clear. No. That's mischief. It is clear. But you can choose to say, I'm not ready for ministry. Yes, you can say that. It's better. That's a honest feedback. Glory to God. But that it is not clear what the ministry is and what it entails and how God expects you to go about it. It is so clear from the Bible. There are no shades of gray. It's black and white. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 1. A believer should hear about the ministry and be excited. Amen. A believer should hear about the ministry and be excited. But for the wrong emphasis and wrong teachings and false teachings that have corrupted the minds of the saints, many believers hear about the ministry today and they are sad. They are not ready. They are not willing. Amen. They are not willing. 1 Timothy. For some, it's too demanding. It's amazing. Someone got you saved. But to go and reach out to others is too demanding. That's selfish. 1 Timothy. Chapter 1 and verse 12. 1 Timothy 1:12, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Hallelujah. Putting me into the ministry. Glory to God. Putting me into the ministry. So you see that the ministry is something you come into only as you come in contact with Christ. It is not of the world. It is not found in the world. You won't come across it in the world. It cannot be a common ground between you and an unbeliever. Your ministry is to be a doctor, and then an unbeliever also is a doctor. Does it make sense? Hallelujah. While the Bible teaches believers' conduct at his place of work, there's a way you ought to conduct it. That is, as a doctor, I do not expect you to be compromising things and, you know, administer fake drugs or, you know, compromise on treatment. I don't expect you to dabble into all kinds of medical scams that are available today. That's what we expect you to do at your place of work. Not that you turn the hospital to a place where you want to be preaching to everybody. That's not why they employed you. So when you are done with your treating people, treating the patients and all that, and you build a relationship, you can share the gospel with them. And at the close of work, you have the entire world. Wherever you want to go, whichever part you want to go, you have the entire world to preach to. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is important. And we have to embrace the Bible position on ministry, on what ministry is. Ministry is spiritual. Ministry is about Jesus. Ministry is about preaching the gospel. Ministry is not your earthly career. The ministry itself is a spiritual career given you by the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're expected to run with it and fulfill it so that you stand before him as a faithful and good servant. We're going to continue from here in the next teaching. Do good to tune in, invite your friends, family members, colleagues, classmates. Let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of faith, full of power, full of the Holy Ghost, full of spiritual songs. Listen, these things aren't just cliches. Amen. I mean, be full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And don't forget to be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.